You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning and thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. We finally made it to the end of another work week. 6:06 right now. And if you are in the great state of Wisconsin, boy, oh boy, hold down your hat because it is windy today and we have a whole lot of snow coming in parts as well. I am Jamie Martinson.
About the entire region. And Jamie, you said there were things flying about on your drive-in.
Yeah. There were
debris and fences and animals.
Yeah. No animals, luckily, this morning. But on my way in, from my 15, 20-minute commute, a couple of metal garbage cans that had been emptied and flew into the middle of main roadways. And then, of course, I'm here in Madison. So if you're in Madison, you know the beautiful Bree Stevens Stadium, and they're doing a little construction work over there. Some of that chain link fence that, you know, they put up for temporary to keep people out. There were panels of it that had just decided to make its way into the middle of the road. So the fine Madison Police Department was out there making sure everybody got where they needed to be safely. But take it easy if you're out there, because I can't imagine having a high-profile vehicle on these roads today. My goodness.
No, and I love to when the weather monkeys always tell us, and be sure to secure your trash cans and outdoor furniture. All right, I guess I'll do that. I don't remember being woken up by wind in recent memory, and that was this morning as the windows, I have an old house and the windows rattle.
Mm.
And today I was like, they might rattle right out of the frames. This could be
old,
could
new,
be
it's not going to matter today with these winds. You're probably going to have some rattly windows because the wind is pretty relentless. And we're going to actually talk with a meteorologist later on this morning after around 7:30. Mace Michaels from Severe Studios will join us, and he's going to give us a little update and a little outlook as to what we can expect across the state over the weekend. So
good weekend to download that Civic Media app,
yes.
Jamie. Keep it with you wherever you go, just in case there's any sort of weather emergency. You go to Google's, anywhere you get apps.
Yes.
Apple Store, whatever you do. It's the, I don't know, it's got some thing. I'm not going to ask Parker about it. He doesn't like to help me out and give me information. But you know where to get apps, don't you? Sure, it's free. Download it. Have it with you. You can listen to us. You can listen to any of the Civic stations. And you can also keep up to date with any weather emergencies that may or may not come.
And that app will come in handy on Monday, because you're going to have a chance to win with our multi-state text to win contest. And you can only enter. You can only enter through the app. Cash prizes, daily cash prizes, I should say, and then a big grand prize. So the app will come in handy for that as well. But we have a lot of news to get to.
Yeah, so let's get to, as we start, we've started since the war began, some headlines from Iran. Four U.S. service members were killed when a refueling aircraft went down in Iraq. The U.S. military said the incident was, quote, not due to hostile fire or friendly fire, end quote, but involved a second U.S. tanker. So four more U.S. service people killed in a war that we don't know why we're there.
Or that we don't know when it's going to end either, according to this administration. Also in headlines this morning, explosions have rocked Tehran. According to state media, where large crowds are gathering to mark All Quds Day. That's an annual international rally in support of Palestinians. Israel had warned that it would target sites in Iran's capital.
Israel also said its fighter jets struck 200 targets in Iran. A strike in northern Israel damaged buildings. Gulf states have also been repelling attacks. Two foreigners were killed in Oman, and explosions were heard in Dubai.
Amid severely limited communication and internet access in Iran, some residents have received a text message purporting to be from the Revolutionary Guards telling them Iran is winning the war. Funny, that's the same thing our president is telling us.
Everybody's winning. I don't know how everybody can be winning, but they're all winning. And finally, Goldman Sachs has forecast 20% higher oil prices for 2026. The war could also cause supply crisis for helium, which is a crucial chip-making material, and for fertilizers, which is horrible news for everybody in our rural communities, the farmers, the agricultural business. We are actually going to talk to the policy director from AAA later on in the program to talk about how bad it could get with gas prices. You know, if you've been at the pump, man, it is... It's bad business.
It's bad business at the pump. It's bad business at the airport. So we'll get a little insight into all of the things travel, because this is a prime time of year. There's a lot of families getting ready for spring break. There's a lot of students getting ready for spring break. And then, of course, people looking ahead to those summer vacations where you have to decide, is a road trip cheaper or is it cheaper to fly? Well, this year, take your pick.
Yeah, because it used to be almost a no-brainer. Go, I'll drive it. I'm going to save a lot of money. But now with fuel costs for your car and fuel costs for the plane, maybe you just have a staycation.
You know,
which is the worst kind of vacation.
I actually foresee a lot of people taking that route, because I think this year, with you know, and then you've got the soaring prices at the grocery stores and in the utility bills. I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to have to make those decisions this year for their families. Unfortunately,
well, yesterday was another horrible day of violence here in the U.S. First was in Michigan, West Bloomfield Township. You probably heard. There's a gunman rammed a truck into a synagogue before opening fire. That was yesterday afternoon. The attack happened just before 1 o'clock at Temple Israel, located on Walnut Lake Road in West Bloomfield. Authorities say the suspect drove his truck through the synagogue's front door and began shooting. And I'm always amazed, horribly amazed at these kind of attacks. I don't
understand them.
It's horrible. And this is... You know, when you're targeting specific, I don't understand the random ones.
Right.
I don't understand these, because this is definitely, you have to assume it's anti-Semitism. It is against a synagogue, a Jewish place of worship, and all the talk about Israel, not only from the attacks on the Gaza Strip from the last couple of years to now the rumor that they were the ones who cajoled Trump into going into war. There's a lot of anti-Israel sentiment running around.
And in this particular case, their investigations are ongoing, but attacks like this are, to me, they're always pointless, they're frightening, and they're completely unwarranted. And honestly, houses of worship should be some of the safest places in any community, where people go to pray, to gather, raise their kids in their faith, support one another.
That's why they become targets, right? Because if you're inclined to do this, you go, well, these people aren't even going to be paying attention. They're going in there. They don't expect anything. So I'm going to get them at their most vulnerable.
What I think is probably most upsetting in cases like this, and this wasn't the only one, and we'll get into that in just a moment, but I think in cases like this, the fact that we are becoming so immune and deaf to them in this country that, I mean, out of everything that was happening yesterday, these should have been major news stories. This story in Detroit, the one at Old Dominion, which we'll give you some information about in just a moment. But we've become so deaf to what is actually happening in this country between the school shootings and attacks like this at places of worship that it's just a blip on our everyday radar. And these attacks should never be acceptable. The gunman in Detroit exchanged gunfire with the synagogue security guards. They were already on site. Security personnel ultimately shot and killed the gunman, preventing any further harm. Now, at the time of this attack, there were about 140 children, staff, and congregants inside the building, including students who were attending the synagogue school. Now, officials did confirm, Brian, that all children and staff were accounted for. They were safe. No students were injured. The synagogue immediately went into lockdown, though, and nearby schools and houses of worship were also told to shelter in place while police responded. Obviously, you can imagine there was a large police presence, FBI, ATF, all on the scene, SWAT teams from around the state as well. So you can imagine that there was a large presence of police. But authorities initially searched the area to determine whether the attacker had any accomplices, parents. There's photos from the scene, obviously, in any sort of case. It's always watching that devastation of the parents and them running to this scene. I hate to say it, because we have become so deaf to these instances, but there are some pretty iconic photos in this world that exist because of these types of attacks, of watching parents running to just find their children. And I hate seeing them every single time.
Yeah, it never gets easy, and it shouldn't get easy. And then we turn our attention to Norfolk, Virginia, mm-hmm. Old Dominion University. The FBI is investigating a shooting there as an act of terrorism because the suspect was 36-year-old Mohammed Baylor Ajalo, a former Virginia National Guardsman. He pled guilty in 2016 for attempting to provide material support to ISIS. He served prison time, then he was released in 2024. Still access to a weaponry, obviously. So this one has a much more terrorist yes. feel. We don't know. Terrorism is one of those words that you can put to a lot of things. I believe that the attack in Michigan, rather,
yes.
was also terrorism. But this one has a lot of Middle Eastern terrorist yes. Connections.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, in this particular case at Old Dominion, an ROTC instructor was killed in the shooting, mm-hmm. and two ROTC students were also critically injured and taken to a local hospital. Now, the students were basically heroes yesterday, these ROTC students, because they, the ones in the room, subdued the gunman. They prevented further loss of life, and the gunman actually died during the incident. Police arrived within about 4 minutes of the first 911 calls, which is incredibly fast timing, and the situation was contained very, very quickly. So kudos to the police. Kudos to those students as well.
Yeah, I was thinking back, like 30 seconds ago, to the story out of Michigan, and how you said security personnel were already on site, and it's a sad state of affairs yeah. when a house of worship has to have security on site. We used to live about a half mile from a synagogue, and since those October attacks a couple of years ago, there was always a police car parked out front. There was always an armed guard at the door. And I can't, you know, you go to church normally, you go to synagogue, you go to the temple, you go to your mosque. You shouldn't have to say, oh, here's the armed security that's keeping me safe. But there's a lot of shoulds yeah. going around, not a lot of reality, just a lot of us thinking about the way things should be. And then on the other side, they're thinking about the way things should be, but it's right. the antithesis of our desires.
Right.
So
I think the one thing that we could all agree on, though, is that targeting people because of who they are, what they believe, where they worship, it has no place in any of our communities. And
that's what all violence is. You're targeting someone. You're targeting someone either weaker or different, or you have something you think you can gain from attacking them. So it's a systematic, intrinsic problem in this country. We love violence in this country.
We do.
You know, look at the best. And I'm as guilty of this as anybody else. I love a good action movie. I love a good shoot 'em up. I love the Old West mentality and all of that. Until, you know, it leaves the screen. In books, on TV, that's all great. But then when it comes to the streets for real, you're like, oh, no, this is not, you weren't supposed to take that literally.
Right.
You know.
And I think with what we see in this country, the one thing that I hope we never do is normalize it, because none of this is normal. Guns in schools, attacking synagogues, none of that is normal. Nothing about that is normal, honestly. It's 6:19 right now, and Brian, coming up, we have a good question. Kohl's is going to lower some prices. Is it considered good marketing? Is it considered, low income? We'll talk about that. It's 6:19. I'm Jamie Martinson. This is Daybreak.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
6:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy Friday. We hope you're having a great start to the day. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Hey, when you go shopping, do you want to be considered low income? No matter how much money you actually make. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Kohl's is coming out with a new marketing strategy. And I, for one,
I don't hate it.
I'm a bit offended as a person who shops at Kohl's. This is. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't need to be. I'm not bougie by any stretch of the imagination. I don't need to. You know, I don't always need name brands and that kind of stuff. I look for value, like everybody else, I think. But Kohl's is focusing on its core customers, which it states. This is a quote: middle to low income customers. In an interview with the Journal Sentinel, Kohl's CEO Michael Bender said the company is focused on customers in those income levels and how they respond to the company's changes. I never considered Kohl's high end.
No.
But I consider them quality and utilitarian and a good value, but that doesn't mean I want to be thought of as, and listen, I may in fact be low income. You don't know, but I don't want to be considered low income.
Well, because now every time you shop there, you're going to be like, wait, am I actually low? You know,
low income.
Here's the one thing I will say:
should I never buy anything on sale just to prove that I'm not low income?
Right.
I would like to pay double for this towel, please.
Just to prove
okay,
you a point,
sir. But you know,
what I do appreciate though is that. Maybe not calling all of your customers lower to middle income is probably, maybe not the way I would have went. However, what I can appreciate is the fact that they are making an effort to make sure that they have quality items. And that's essentially what their CEO is saying, that they want to make sure we have quality items that we can all afford, especially right now when the economy is so up and down. And so I can appreciate that part of it. I feel like there was a better way to maybe roll this out.
it's all optics. It's all the strategy of what you say. I agree with, I think, I don't know who would say, nope, I want lesser quality items.
Right.
I want them
for
to cost
expensive, more,
and I want to have to replace them every other week.
Right. No,
nobody's
going to
say that. So I agree with you, Jamie. This is a good plan.
Mm-hmm. But marketing is important.
Marketing is everything. That's why that's why we yell about marketing this show, because it's low income.
And honestly, you're not lying. There are lots of times when, you know, this is why a lot of companies don't allow their CEO to make these public statements. And they have people who do it in place of the CEO for reasons just like this. Now, essentially,
we love the poors. I hope the poors will come and shop at Kohl's with their last 3 cents. We're going to, it's high quality, but you know, you people who can't really afford to go to Macy's, just come on in here.
Really, at this point, I feel like we're all lower to middle income, though.
Yes.
You know, that's the other thing. Who are you catering to? Because we're all in the same boat right now, especially with what is happening in the economy. Now, financially,
I know a lot of people who make a lot more money than I do that shop at Kohl's.
Oh, of course. That's why they continue to have their money.
1% of the 1%?
They're not splurging, right? They're doing the thrifty fiscal thing.
Right.
Financially, though, Kohl's has reported $125 million in profit in this final quarter, nearly three times what it earned during the same time just 2 years ago. However, overall sales still declined, showing the company is facing challenges in the retail market. And Bender, the CEO, of course, described the company's recovery as progressive improvement, noting that some of these retail turnarounds take time and can't happen overnight. Now, there is another layer to this story, though, too, Brian, because Kohl's is one of several Wisconsin companies that's currently suing the Trump administration over tariffs. Because, of course, those tariffs increase the cost of importing a lot of goods, including the clothing, the shoes, whatever you're buying, your home goods at Kohl's. And then those costs usually end up getting passed on to the consumers. So when you hear Kohl's talking about customers trying to stretch their dollars, that part might not just be marketing language. That essentially could be them trying to keep down their costs a little bit, too,
Exactly. And again, it bears repeating just because people think it's market, it's messaging. What do you want? It's, you know, you roll out new Coke and it bombs. You roll out, you have to have, that's right, Parker. I went all the way back to new Coke.
You did. I'll tell you later.
Wow. There's a story.
No, you tell us now. What's the story? You can't tease like that.
I've been teased over.
Show within a show. Secret show.
Yeah. Okay.
This is where you go to the YouTube stream and you get to hear the story on the secret show. Sponsored by no one yet. Fill in the blank here.
By new Coke?
Maybe Kohl's.
or New Coke that doesn't exist anymore. That would be about how we roll here at Civic Media. We'll get you a sponsor that doesn't even exist. Anyway, go ahead.
Is the secret show focused at lower and middle income people too? And this is for the high-end consumer? Is that what we're...
Really? You would consider any of this to be for a high-end consumer? Really?
I think mentally high-end, Jamie. Okay, I don't care what a person has in their wallet.
I don't care either.
I care about the substance of their heart, Jamie.
All right, there
Unlike
we go.
You, I'm not always looking for the bottom line.
I'm just saying, I'm not a bottom line person. I'm just saying, would you consider any of this to be high class around here?
Well, listen, as one of the suits, I'm not going to play and fall into your trap. I get it. I'm trying to think. Anytime I need, like, tablecloths or
towels.
That's a play. And Kohl's always has really good deals on holiday things.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I've bought clothes there.
Of course.
You know, we've bought all kinds of stuff there.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to feel dirty. I'm going to have to do it all online so I don't have to go in because I don't want to feel tainted. And again, that's just me, one, being a little facetious, so relax, and realizing that everybody shops there, so the CEO should have stayed in the boardroom.
Yeah.
I'm sure Kohl's has a brilliant marketing and advertising department.
Of course.
So, like you said, sometimes even the boss has to just zip it for a little bit.
Of course.
And let the pros stay in your lane, boss.
That's right.
We'll handle talking to the poor.
Get a spokesperson. It's fine. It's 6:29 right now. You're listening to Daybreak. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. ICE rearrests a woman in Sheboygan Falls. Why? Well, we'll tell you after the news. We're on the city.
Lake Superior to Lake Michigan. This is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. Speaking of Lake Superior to Lake Michigan and all points in between, you're probably going to see some snow and definitely some high winds over the next couple of days. Roger from Stevens Point chiming in over on the text line this morning. Brian, I almost did my Red Fox impression last night after seeing the 12 to 18 inch snow forecast saying, this is the big one. It's the biggest one I ever had. Of course.
That's what she said. Good moment.
Yeah, we're gonna see some weather through the region over the weekend, and many parts of the state going to get several inches of snow. We're actually going to have a meteorologist, Mace Michaels, joining us around 7:30 this morning to talk about that and give us a little bit of a weekend outlook. In the meantime, don't forget on Monday, Brian, a chance to win. Ooh, we're very excited.
Yes.
It's another
daily monetary prize. That's one big grand prize. It's a multi-state text to win contest. But Jamie, here's the thing. You can't text from your phone.
Nope. Well, you can.
Where do you have to go?
But you got to have the special app in order to use your phone. That's right. Go to your Google store, your Apple store. If you haven't already downloaded that app, we would love for you to grab that. Have it all ready to go, because the only way that you can qualify for daily cash prizes and a grand prize is by texting through the Civic Media app. Plus, you get to hang out with us a little bit more, and you get to check out all of our music stations across the state and region as well. So please do that. And while you're at it, then we'd like you to go over to, you know, Facebook or Instagram and give our show a like, because you can follow along with all of our shenanigans over there.
Yeah, just a sneak peek, a couple of big social videos coming out.
Yes.
Jamie, you're releasing one tomorrow, right?
Maybe even later today. Well,
Later today.
I put Frank in charge of that.
Frank, folks.
That's
if you
right.
want to hear our videos, talk to Frank.
That's right. I got to do a little taste testing of some pies because, you know, Pie Day happens to be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. I was an English major. You're not getting me to celebrate any mathematical equation anytime soon. So I wanted to celebrate.
No, I hear pie. I don't spell pie.
Right?
I don't see pie. I eat pie.
I wanted to celebrate something I know. Fruit and cream in the middle of a buttery crust. That's what I know when it comes to pie. So that's what I celebrate.
Yeah. So we will be adding different things and trying to. So, you know. Go there if you're a social media person, Facebook, Instagram, and then don't forget to tell your friends they can watch every morning on YouTube as well, like the people who are Alicia's with us every morning on YouTube.
I love having Alicia along.
There's a couple other people who are here every morning. We appreciate that. Tell your friends, you know, we're not Kohl's. We welcome low income, high income, no income, derelicts, reprobates. Everybody's welcome.
You might not get a lot of high class here, but you'll you'll get a lot of other stuff too, and we'll have some fun along the way. So it's a good time.
Class is just a word. Doesn't really mean anything. Let's look at Sheboygan Falls because you know there's been a lot of ICE activity up that way, and ICE officers arrested a Sheboygan Falls woman during a routine immigration check this week, even though an immigration judge had previously canceled her deportation order. Elvira Benitez is her name. She's 50 years old. She recently began the process of applying for a green card after a judge ruled she could remain in the United States. But does that matter to ICE? No, because she's a brown woman, and she must be illegal, even with paperwork that says she's not, so we're going to rearrest her. And, boy, just another feather in ICE's cap, Jamie.
It is, and at some point... It's stories like this that make it really hard to not question what is happening in our immigration system right now. I mean, we see it play out in our own eyes, right? But when you look at this case, it feels like a deeply flawed system, and it raises the question of whether... I mean, I think we can answer that. People are being targeted, not because they're dangerous, not because they've committed crimes, but because the system knows that they're easy to find. I mean, people are told... to go follow the rules and to go through the immigration process the right way so that they can become a citizen in this country. And this woman essentially did. And they go to their check-ins. They file their paperwork, Brian. They try to get their green card. They try to get legal residency. And then ICE still targets them anyway and tries to deport them. It's a no-win
situation.
Well,
they came in. Listen, I'll mansplain it to you,
okay,
little lady.
Okay, please do.
They came in illegally in the first place, so I don't care now if they're doing it the right way. They should have done it the right way at first because now they're doing it the backwards way, and backwards don't play here in the U.S. of A.
I guess not. But Elvira's immigration case started last year after she accidentally crossed into Canada during a family road trip in Michigan that triggered her detention by immigration authorities. So she spent 6 months in ICE custody in 2025 before the immigration judge renewed her case. Then she fled an abusive home in Mexico as a teenager, and she's lived in the United States without legal status for about 35 years. The immigration judge actually canceled her deportation order partly because her detention had caused hardships for her children, including her younger kids who struggled while mom was in custody. We hear this a lot, right? Now, during that time, her two adult daughters, who are U.S. citizens, stepped in to care for the younger siblings. And even after the judge allowed her to pursue legal residency, the Department of Homeland Security delayed the required background check for more than a month, which then prolonged this detention before she was actually released in December. So that's how we get to right now, anyway.
Okay.
I mean, the federal government appealed the judge's decision following that, which paused the process then for her green card. And despite that appeal, Elvira continued following all the immigration rules. She attended her mandatory supervision appointments with the federal officials and then was arrested again Tuesday during one of the required check-ins at the Department of Homeland Security office in Milwaukee.
So she went to her check-in like she's supposed to?
Yes.
Other than her name inspiring one of the most annoying songs in music history.
But so fun to sing at a bar.
I know. But it doesn't sound like she is not only not the worst of the worst, not even close to being in the running for anywhere on the list of the worst.
No.
So why are we wasting so much taxpayer money on a woman who is in the process of doing what she's supposed to do and the judge has said she's doing it, leave her alone? What burr is in the saddle of ICE that we have to focus on a 50-year-old woman who is raising her kids in Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin? What is it about her that it has got her in the crosshairs for all of this? It makes zero sense.
My mind sometimes goes to this. Are they picking on the most vulnerable, the easiest, because it makes them look tough and makes them look like they're adhering to what the government...
It doesn't make them look tough.
Right. I know this, and you know this. And several of our listeners probably know this, but
I hope all our listeners know this. I'm going to give them more credit.
But to this administration, it doesn't matter. If you're deporting somebody who's brown, if you're deporting somebody who's here illegally, they don't care what that looks like. They just want those numbers to continue to increase because they have a mission to get out as many illegal immigrants as absolutely possible, because that is what this president campaigned on.
But aren't you only, isn't everybody who's going through the process technically illegal until you get that green card?
They don't care. They're here illegally, so they want them out. Because at the end of the day, I still don't believe this has anything to do with immigration at all. I believe it fully has everything to do with the color of one's skin.
I'm guessing, and I don't know this, there must be white immigrants, right, who come here.
There are.
And maybe, I know for a fact, there are a lot of my homeland mates. A lot of Irish people come here under a work visa and then never go back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that right? No. But they blend in until they open their mouths. They blend in.
Right. Right. Right.
And that's the key, right? Because that's the only difference. If there's a 50-year-old Irish woman who came here 35 years ago to escape whatever she was escaping in Ireland, and she's been working, she's been raising her family, and now she's in the process of getting her green card, and a judge has ruled that you can't deport her, nobody's going after her.
Right. Right. I mean, and here's the thing. As we talk about this story with Elvira, obviously we don't know her personally, but by all accounts, she appears to be someone who has been working, raising her children, and trying to move through the legal process to stay in this country. I mean, an immigration judge even recognized the hardship and basically said, let's start the process. Let's apply for the green card. And I think that's the part that should concern people, because this isn't just a story about one woman in Sheboygan Falls. If someone can be detained while following the system exactly as they were instructed to do by the judges, by attorneys, by this administration, then this is happening in communities all across not only Wisconsin, but this country. Whether it's Sheboygan, whether it's Green Bay, Milwaukee, Wausau, pick a town. You know this is happening all across the country. We see the news headlines, and now it just happens that we're seeing it more in our own home
state. Well, it led to that judge being censured in Milwaukee.
Right.
You can't arrest people when they're doing things the right way, when you're going to your hearing, when you're going to see your immigration officer, when you're going to court. Those are all things that citizens do.
Yes.
And you can't lay in wait for these people unless you have a warrant and proof that this person has committed something so heinous that they have got to go. And then they do have to go.
Right.
But somehow, again, we don't know Elvira. Giddy up. Aumbapa, aumbapa, aumbapa. But I don't think there's been nothing in any reports that say she was a drug trafficker, she was a killer. No.
Sounds like she was a mom who was trying to take care of her kids who tried to escape a really bad situation many, many years ago. Mark is chiming in over on the text line this morning saying, as I brought it before, it seems to me it is a violation of ex post facto, changing the rules while people are legally in the system, making them illegal. Damn Stephen Miller and Donald Trump. Now, if you want to chime in this morning, we'd love to hear from you. 1-855-752-4842. That's 1-855-75-CIVIC. We always welcome you to be a part of the conversation. Now, Elvira's story isn't over, though, Brian, because after the arrest, ICE transferred her to a detention facility outside of Chicago. Now, it wasn't specified which one.
Bridgeview, that's the one.
Yep. Now, her attorney says that she has no criminal record, she has no legal issues, and that the agency was not required to detain her while the appeal is pending. According to ICE data, more than 100 people were arrested at the Milwaukee DHS office in 2025, going through the process just like Elvira. And about three-quarters of those individuals had no criminal history or pending charges. This is happening nationally. Tens of thousands of immigrants were arrested in 2025. About a third of those had no criminal background. Remember, though, we were getting out the worst of the worst.
Worst of the worst.
We were going to get out the bad guys. Now, Elvira's family and attorney argue that this detention separates from her U.S. citizen children. It also raises the question, they say, about whether people can rely on immigration court decisions while their cases are still being appealed.
No.
Under this administration, no.
And talk about the laziest form of law enforcement.
Right?
We're not going to investigate. We're just going to sit outside the immigration office and grab up everybody because there's a chance they're violating the law, so we might as well just get them there. Mark in Prairie du Sac. Warrants, they like, it's like the old joke about badges. They don't need no stinking warrants.
No, apparently not.
They don't, and they don't need to investigate. We'll just wait here, and that's why cherry picking in soccer is so frowned upon. And that's why there's the offside rule in hockey, so that this kind of thing can't happen.
I mean,
it's good enough for sports, it should be good enough for law enforcement.
This is complicated. Immigration is. It's often emotional anyway, but none of these stories make any of this better or worse. This is an administration who has one agenda right now. 6:48 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I am Jamie Martinson.
Vanity is one of the seven deadly sins, and Pete Hegseth is definitely trafficking in vanity. A little hubris, too. But we'll get to all of that after this on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:52 right now. We hope that you're having a great start to your morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I am Jamie Martinson.
I didn't know I'd be happy to hear Nickelback on a Friday morning. And yet here we are. Not mad at it, Parker.
You're welcome.
Not mad at it.
I love
Look
it.
At these photographs.
Thank you.
I love it. We do have a text that we want to go to here quickly before we talk about Pete Hegseth and the vanity tour that it is. Aaron chiming in from Madison. As we were talking about Elvira, if you joined us last segment, she is a woman in Sheboygan Falls going through the immigration process and now being detained. But he says, how many kids did she have? Three? In communities, departing her eliminates four brown voters. You know, it's funny. It's hard to argue with that kind of logic on a Friday morning, Brian.
You got to get rid of generational voters. We don't even want them growing up.
Right? Right.
Well, she's like an Inigo Montoya.
And she has two adult daughters who are taking care of the younger siblings. So Aaron might be on to something there. If you do want to join the conversation this morning, we'd love to have you. 1-855-752-4842. 1-855-75-CIVIC.
What do you think of Pete Hegseth's photographs? That's the question for this, because Pete's not happy about them. Pistol Pete is, he's used to being on TV. We had to get makeup tents and things for him at the Defense
yes.
Department, which seems, for somebody who rages against wokeness, it seems kind of woke to get all gussied up to go out when you're talking about war and stuff, but that's just
but
me.
He's only done TV on the weekends. He would know nothing else.
Weekday TV people don't wear makeup. Only weekend people wear makeup.
I mean, that's what he knows. He knows going into a dressing room, having his makeup done, and then trotting out in front of the cameras. That's what he essentially knows.
I know, but now he's the war god. He's the Terminator. He's the Punisher. He's the man who is supposed to be tough and ready to go, but he is really a vain little baby because he and the Defense Department have barred press photographers from briefings because they published photos that Hegseth and his staff deemed quote-unquote unflattering. Yeah, they saw into your soul, Pete. That was the problem. They saw the darkness and evil that lives within. Oh, that's just me editorializing, folks. Sorry. This story about him banning the photographers is according to two people familiar with the decision, but they had to speak anonymously because they thought they'd be retaliated against. Maybe it's me, and maybe it's because of my total disdain for Pistol Pete that I no picture of him is flattering, but talk about just a vain, petulant, insecure little baby man.
Right.
Almost as bad as his boss, but at least for the president, they could still take pictures.
They can.
And go. I want you to explain because the there's a part in here that's going to infuriate me even more.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll let you listen and
ahead. I'm going to take a sip.
Okay. So this all stems from the March 2nd briefing that came just days after the very first initial strikes in Iran that killed the Ayatollah, and that which, of course, took place on February 28th. Mm-hmm. It was also the first time that Pete Hegseth had appeared from the briefing room podium since June 26th. So several outlets, including the Associated Press, Reuters, and Getty Images, sent photographers to the briefing from Hegseth and General Dan Kane, who's chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So after they published these photos, which have obviously a huge reach because they're licensed by publications globally, yes, members of Hegseth's staff told colleagues that they did not like the way that the secretary looked. So aides just decided to shut out photographers from the two subsequent briefings at the Pentagon on March 4th and 10th, according to those two people who know these decisions. Pentagon Press Secretary Kingsley Wilson wrote, quote, "In order to use space in the Pentagon briefing room effectively, we are allowing one representative per news outlet if uncredentialed, excluding Poole. Photographs from the briefings are immediately released online for the public and press to use. If that hurts the business model for certain news outlets, then they should consider applying for a Pentagon press credential," unquote. Which,
ding,
I know this
ding,
is where you're
ding.
Going.
That's... How dare you? How dare you mess with somebody's business because your vain influencer of a war god has decided he doesn't like the way he looks? Blame God. He's always talking about
right.
God. He's always talking about how this is a holy war. Blame God. God made you look how you are. If you turn and make a dopey face when you're talking about crushing everybody. And listen, I'm not above knowing that there might be an editor who dislikes Pistol Pete.
Sure.
And decides that it's time to... you know, this picture makes him look like a dork.
And how unflattering was it? Was his pocket square not straight? Did someone catch him wearing the shoes that the president gave him? I'm not really sure what was happening that made it so unflattering.
Were his white Christian nationalist tattoos showing?
But here's the thing. This is not the first time that Hegseth has sparred with the press since he's become...
He's a wannabe tough guy.
Right. In October, hundreds of credentialed Pentagon reporters, if you remember in the Wayback Machine, because again, an eternity since these things happened, turned in their credentials and dozens walked out of the building because they refused to sign some stupid policy prohibiting journalists from soliciting any information that the government did not authorize. Hey, That's their job.
Yes.
So now all we have in those actual briefings that are coming from the Pentagon are places that are right, very right-leaning organizations that only verge on news. It's sensationalized news is essentially what they're doing, but it pleases this administration because then nothing bad is being said about the policies, and that's what this literally is.
That's right. We don't investigate. We don't question. We sign our loyalty pledges. And if we don't want to, we'll figure out a way to keep you out. And, I'm sure these photographers are going to be able to get press credentials.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm sure they're going to be right on that for them. Absolutely.
So if you see unflattering pictures of Pete or the president, be sure to circulate them on social media. I'm sure they'll enjoy
that very much. They'll love it.
Yeah,
that'd be good. 6:59 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. The White House is taking another step toward fixing their illegal tariffs. We'll see what that means. But we got to roll now. We got to roll now on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.